This is Stephen Whitfield with Drilling Contractor. In a moment, we'll be speaking with Paul Liberato, the president and CEO of the Billy Pugh Company, a manufacturer of rig personnel transfer safety devices. This interview was done in part for a story coming out in the May-June issue of Drilling Contractor on how drilling contractors have had to adapt their personnel transfer protocols within the new landscape of social distancing and other regulations passed following the outbreak of COVID-19, otherwise known as the coronavirus. With more than 30 years in the industry dealing with a number of client companies, Mr. Liberato brings a unique manufacturer's perspective to this topic, and we hope you enjoy. Hello, Mr. Liberato. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Stephen. Good to be here.
Now, obviously, COVID-19 has had a huge impact on a lot of areas within oil and gas, and I'm sure that as a manufacturer, you have had conversations with your clients, with drillers, about what they're kind of seeing, what they're thinking. And I just wanted to see if you could share a little bit about what you're hearing. What have companies done to try to adapt to this new reality? And if they haven't really had to do all that much, what's made them well-equipped to handle the initial uncertainty of this outbreak?
I think just overall, the whole logistics in the offshore oil and gas community has been very much challenged through this whole COVID situation. And that one of the great things about being in the offshore oil and gas business is that, you know, just by nature, we have to think on our feet, and especially those people that are operating, production platforms, drilling rigs, offshore service vessels. It's the kind of industry that just by the nature of it, you have to be quick on your feet and thinking. And this has been, I think, one of the most unique challenges. But I mean, some of the things that I've had discussions with on our customers are things that as a manufacturer, I've never even thought of. But one of them is, not only moving the people on and off using our product, but they have to quarantine people coming on and off. A lot of them apparently they're going to have longer hitches, because if you have to quarantine somebody for 2 weeks, you don't want to put them on there for a 2 week hitch. So their hitches are longer. They have to put them through a quarantine process. And then the logistics of getting people, let's say you're working, in the Congo or Brazil or any of the other places that we're operating around the world, is how do you get the people in and out when there is restrictions on flights? I talked to one friend of mine just the last day or so, and he said, Paul, we've got a handful of people that have been there since the beginning of this. We can't get them out. From that's kind of an overall view. Now, from our standpoint, on the specific thing that we're most known for, which is moving people on and off of rigs, from what I'm hearing, I mean, it's kind of business as usual. But one of the things that they're doing, they're just making sure that the actual baskets themselves are clean in between, so that, people are putting their hands on them, that they're cleaning the baskets, that if they've got, say, a smaller crew transfer, that they're maybe on a 6 or 8 person basket, maybe they're only putting, 4 people or 2 people on a 4 person, so they can have a little more distance. But for the most part, I think that things are moving along pretty much as normal out there, but they're just taking some extra precautions. I know that they're bringing extra cleaning people on board to make sure that everything is sanitized and clean. It's just been, for instance, one of the things that, you may think of, I didn't think of this, but they're actually doing temperature checks of everybody coming on board to make sure that they've got a temperature, that they don't let them on, and doing a little bit of a health screening, asking questions and making sure that the people that you do have coming on, that you can be as careful as you can. So that's mostly what I'm hearing. I mean, for the most part, we're doing the best that we can as an industry, and as a manufacturer, we certainly have some additional challenges as well.
Could you get into some of those challenges that you face as a manufacturer? What is demand like? I mean, is it any different now than it was, say, a month ago? Or what other challenges that you might have to face in this space.
Yeah, Stephen, we've got some tough stuff coming up. I know that, every day is a new day. We literally before this came up, I would plan, a quarter at a time or a half or even a year at a time. And now we're planning almost a day at a time, maybe a week at a time at most. Every Friday I have a conference call with my general manager and we discuss, how much work do we have, what kind of hours we need to work our employees and trying to project this forward is almost impossible because, as these rig contracts expire, we just don't know how much volume we're going to be producing in the next, year or two. And unfortunately, we were kind of digging ourselves out. It's not like the offshore oil and gas business was in a great spot anyway. I mean, we've been struggling really since, late 2014, right into 2015, and we're at the 2020, and it had gotten a little bit better, and then they throw this thing at us. So it's tough. I mean, as a manufacturer, one of the things that I'm running into is how much product do we build? We went ahead as a small company. I mean, we're well known all over the world, but the bottom line is, we're a small manufacturing company based in Corpus Christi, Texas, we applied for a loan, we were approved for the loan on that CARE program that President Trump put out. But for us, it's a little bit different because we're not in I don't run a service business. I run a manufacturing business. And for me to work my people and continue to work them, if we run out of devices to build, personnel transfer devices, ladders, fiberglass boxes, ring booths, we run out of all that stuff to build. How much inventory do I build? How long do I work everyone? How much raw materials do I buy? These are things that, quite frankly, I've never really had to deal with, and I've been president of this company for almost 31 years. So, we're looking at probably in the next 5, 6, 7 weeks, we may be looking at our book of business, and there may not be anything there. We just don't know. And then at that point, we kind of have to take a guess on how much product we can build until we have to make other adjustments. So it's unprecedented for us, but nobody's going to feel sorry for us because it's unprecedented for everybody else too. And, as far as our offshore customers, the drillers, the operators, the boat companies, as they go, that's how we go. So the challenges that they're going to face over the next month, 6 months, year, 2 years, probably, we're going to be right there with them. So a lot to look forward to. But at the end of the day, I think that we'll get through this just like we've gotten through every other challenge that we've had and every other downturn we've had in my 30 years in this business.
Well, it is certainly an unprecedented time in this industry, and I'm sure that we'll be hearing a lot about how this space develops as the days and weeks go on. Mr. Liberato, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Well, thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it, and just want to wish everybody out there, to be as obviously to be as safe as you can, and we'll all get through this together. So, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. Please make sure to read the May-June issue of Drilling Contractor for more details on the coronavirus pandemic's impact on rig personnel transfers. Also, please make sure to check out our website at drillingcontractor.org for more interviews like this in the coming weeks.